We're going to turn now to Libya because there are deep concerns there about the way the revolution is turning out. Many of the former rebels are still heavily armed and have now formed militias controlling different parts of the country. It's also still not clear who exactly is running Libya. The National Transitional Council has never fully disclosed who its members are. However, Colonel Gaddafi is dead and the old order has largely collapsed. One man who had a big role to play in that is Mohamed Nabous. He's the telecoms engineer who became the face of the revolution in the early days when he set up his own internet TV station in Benghazi, Al-Hurra. From his backyard, he relayed information about what was going on to the outside world when almost all connections had been severed. But Mohamed was shot dead by a sniper on the 19th of March, leaving a wife, Samra, who was pregnant with their first child. Well, a little earlier, Samra came into the studio with their daughter Maya, who's now 6 months old. I began by asking her how Mohamed first became a journalist.
I always say he was a journalist by accident, more or less, because when he started, it was more to just get a way of connection between us and the outside world. He was the only person that, first of all, dared to go out with his name, with his face. Everyone was shocked the first day we saw him on TV, like his full name and his face. And we were like, that's it. He's a target now.
And why did he do that? Why didn't he just do this anonymously? Right.
Because you can't just use an anonymous name and ask the international world to believe you. And he did that for credibility. He wanted the people to believe us because there were other people reporting from inside Libya through the phone with anonymous names or just the first name. So he said, that's not going to work. We need actions and we need them now. Because when they first started the protests, they were purely peaceful. Mohamed was one of the first guys to go out on the protests on the 15th. They had no weapons. The first day, I told him to wear double socks, I told him to wear his boots, and I asked him to wear a thick shirt. I said, just in case you get hit or someone tries to hit you with a stick or something. I wasn't expecting them to start shooting with using bullets.
And when he started broadcasting, using his name, appearing on the internet,
yes,
he knew the risks that he was taking.
It had to be done, it was now or never. Mohamed started being active even before the revolution started. He started being active on the internet, and I used to tell him, Mohamed, this is really risky what you're doing. I told him they can just come and pick you up from the house. And he was like, Sam, I know this is going to happen. And I used to tell him, what if no one goes out? He said, even if just one person goes out with me, I'm going out. Tunisian revolution and the Egyptian revolution, they kind of broke a fear barrier throughout the Arab world. The first protests weren't actually about throwing over the regime. It was about having more rights. But when he received us with bullets, that's when, and he killed so many, he killed hundreds in Benghazi, just in the first days. That's when it changed. It became about getting rid of the regime.
You were pregnant at the time when the uprising started.
Yes.
So did you try and dissuade Mohamed from doing what he was doing?
I knew the dangers, but Mohamed is the kind that when he puts something into his head, he has to do it. And I know that about him. So the only thing I could do was to support him.
But knowing that he was going to have a child, how did he justify that to you and to himself to carry on?
He used to tell me from the first day that the only reason he's not scared is because I was pregnant. Because he knew that he is going to have a child, no matter what happens. Having me and the baby, he knew that his name is gonna live on. So he wasn't scared at all to go out.
Was he also thinking of the baby's future?
He was, and he always told me I'm doing this for the baby. To have a better future, to have a better life than we did.
What do you think Mohamed would make of the Libya that exists now, 10 months on from when the uprising started?
I think he would be very active trying to get things straight. Like, I think he would mostly work on transparency, which we don't have at all right now.
So he'd be a little bit disappointed with what's happened, do you think?
Very. We have lost so many people. We have lost loved ones. Kids are going to grow up without their fathers because we have asked for our rights. We want a better country. But right now we see the same people that have been before empowered, they're still in power. The same corruptions are going on.